Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer. So, Bob, we're going to go through Creation Magazine today. It's one of our favorite things to do. However, yes. I want to talk about some really cool news. At least I think it is.
Yeah.
So the Creation Hall of Fame.
Oh, I love those guys.
Yeah, they have a great website. Well, they had their top three contributions.
Their 2014 year review, Fred, I saw that. I'm so glad you brought that into
So number one, of course, was the Ken Ham Bill Nye debate. I mean, that was a huge thing this year, really big. And then the next thing is the ARC project, Answers in Genesis. They've got full funding
to build a full-size Noah's Ark.
And that is going to be so cool. And man, I know they went through a lot of headache to get that through the government.
Yeah.
All the approvals. But hey, that's on track. So that's going to be awesome. The third thing, the third big event was Real Science Radio releases the Global Flood video.
Whoa,
how cool is that?
Global Flood and Hydroplane Theory video.
Number three biggest event.
That's become our bestseller. It has literally been selling like hotcakes.
Oh, that's great.
It has brought so many people to the Real Science Radio family. We're just so thrilled with that. And then the Hall of Fame, they went on to list other events of 2014, but it was so nice that they listed this as a prominent accomplishment of 2014. Oh, and by the way, Dr. Walt Brown, our favorite creation scientist, he puts out a year-end letter to his supporters around the country, and he included a wonderful description of the Global Flood video in his letter.
Oh, great.
Really encouraging.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. And people can get that at the store at realscienceradio.com, right?
That's right. Just click on the store and browse the science department. So, Fred, this Creation Magazine, this is the last edition of 2014, number four, and it has just so many wonderful articles. I'm glad we're still looking at it.
Oh, absolutely. The first one we're going to talk about is Creationist Contributions to Science, and there's really some cool stuff in here. You know, we've always said that evolution itself as a science, even if you can call it a scientific discipline, it's never proven anything.
It's not led to discoveries or technologies other than evolution itself.
Exactly.
That's it. Its only claim to fame is the theory of evolution has discovered the theory of evolution.
That's right.
That's it. So this article is fun by Don Batten because first he quotes evolutionists saying how important Christianity has been to science. And then he looks at all of these creationists who have made such amazing contributions.
Yeah, and we've always had this great long list. You know, the founding fathers of all the major science disciplines were all Bible-believing Christians. You know, a lot of people don't realize that.
So many of.
Oh, it's a very,
names.
Very long list.
So we'll get into that list.
Yeah. But what I love here, I mean, this is so cool. And I know you wrote an article about this, Bob, that was in the CRS. That one evolution scientist, Theodosius Dobzhansky, when he made that claim that nothing in biology makes sense except in light of evolution.
Oh, yeah.
And we've long said that, well, that's just not true. Well, here's a quote from an evolutionist. I love this. This guy's the chair of the Department of the Systems Biology at Harvard Medical School. So this is obviously no friend of creationists. He said that, in fact, over the last 100 years, almost all of biology has proceeded independent of evolution. Except evolutionary biology itself, just like you said.
Good point just made.
So things like molecular biology, biochemistry, physiology have not taken evolution into account at all.
And we hear that from geneticists, molecular biologists over and over, Fred. So there's also a quote in Don Batten's article from the University of Oxford, Peter Harrison, professor of science and religion. And he said this. He begins by quoting these evolutionists, had it not been for the rise of the literal interpretation of the Bible and the subsequent appropriation of biblical narratives by early scientists, modern science may not have arisen at all. In sum, the Bible and its literal interpretation have played a vital role in the development of Western science. I love it.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Then there's a quote from an anti-creationist, Larry Witham, in a bioessay special issue on evolution.
He said, while the great majority of biologists would probably agree with Theodosius Dobzhansky's dictum that nothing in biology makes sense except in the light of evolution, most can conduct their work quite happily without particular reference to evolutionary ideas. Evolution would appear to be the indispensable unifying idea and, at the same time, a highly superfluous one.
That is just so tremendous.
True. Yeah.
And that article that I had published, the paper in the peer-reviewed CRSQ, the quarterly, that is on Dobzhansky's claim. Dobzhansky made predictions in his famous article 40 years ago.
And that was a selected article for that journal that's public. Yes. So you can go read that without having to be a member.
Yeah, that's right. At CRSQ.org.
Yes.
You can find that article on Dobzhansky. And it turns out every prediction Dobzhansky made turned out to be falsified. Not true.
Every single one.
Every prediction. And we end with the most powerful claims by leading scientists saying, you know what? Evolution is pretty much irrelevant to actual science. So it's the opposite of what is claimed by the evolution lobbyists.
Well, Bob, you quote Emeritus Professor Philip Scale, who's the American Association for the Advancement of Science. That's a famous organ. Yeah, the big shots. He wrote that Darwinian evolution, whatever its other virtues, does not provide a fruitful heuristic in experimental biology.
Just not helpful. That's hysterical, right? Do you get that from Nova?
Yeah.
Or from Discover Magazine or National Geographic.
No.
But you get that from the cutting edge scientists who are.
Exactly.
On. Now, Don Batten, in his fabulous article in Creation Magazine, he now goes on to list creation scientists who have really helped the advance of science.
Yeah. And these are modern day creation scientists, not the long laundry list of
Isaac Newton,
yeah,
and Kepler and Copernicus,
Bacon, all those guys,
Francis Bacon, so many such amazing fathers of the physical sciences.
That's right.
Most of them,
yeah,
were
Pascal, mathematics,
just
calculus.
Awesome.
Yeah. So the first one he lists is Professor Dr. Bernard Brandstetter, pioneer in anesthetics.
Yeah, and I'm glad he did what he did. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That stuff works pretty good.
Pioneered assisted breathing for premature babies.
Wow.
Thank God for that. And developed an improved catheter for epidural anesthesia. Fred, after we've had babies, you know, Cheryl and I, we've raised 7 boys. We'll go to a restaurant after the latest birth delivery, and Cheryl will order a drink, and I'll order an epidural. Like, can I have an epidural? I'm having sympathy pains for my wife. Yeah, so here's a creationist, Dr. Bernard Brandstetter. Then there's Dr. Stuart Burgess, world expert in biomimetics. In fact, we have mentioned him, professor of engineering design at the University of Bristol in the UK, over 40 papers published in science journals, 50 conference proceedings, 7 patents, just a brilliant scientist, hardcore young earth creationist, my kind of guy.
So there's this little known guy, Dr. Ben Carson. Heard of him?
Oh, big. In fact, he's a pioneer pediatric neurosurgeon.
Yeah, that's right.
Big deal.
His list is long. He was featured in CNN and Time magazine. They named him as one of the nation's 20 foremost physicians and scientists. This is CNN and Time magazine.
Yeah, one of the 20.
Yeah.
And Library of Congress selected him as one of the 89 living legends.
Yeah.
At John Hopkins Medical Institution, he's the director of pediatric neurosurgery.
You know how many honorary doctorates he has?
2.
Higher.
3.
Nope, higher. 51.
51 honorary.
And that includes doctorates from Yale and Columbia.
Wow. And he is a creationist, strongly against Darwinism.
Oh, absolutely. He
talks about it publicly.
Yeah.
Then there's Dr. Raymond Damadian. I like that guy.
Yeah, he's great. He invented something that's really useful, the MRI device.
He invented it. MRI, magnetic.
He should have got the Nobel Prize for it, but because he's a creationist, you know, the politics behind it, he was.
Fred, I've gone into the Wikipedia article on MRI and the history of its development. I've changed it because now, usually when I make an edit, atheists,
someone will change it back.
Homosexuals change it right back.
Yep.
But it may have stood the test of time. I checked like a year later, it was still there. They had the history and it's a big paragraph. And this year this happened. This year this happened. And this year Dr. Raymond Damadian did this. And then this year this happened. The year Dr. Raymond Damadian's, his was the earliest of all the years in the paragraph that other people did other things.
Mm-hmm.
So I said in the discussion section of Wikipedia,
yeah,
shouldn't the earliest year be listed first in the chronological history? So I went ahead and moved it first.
Where it belongs.
Where it belonged. But to atheists, it's probably unacceptable.
Yeah.
And by us announcing this, there's probably some atheist who's going to go in there and put it out of chronological order.
Yeah.
Because it just looks too much like a creationist should get the credit for the MRI.
Yeah.
Along with others who did significant development after.
Yeah, that's right. So this next guy, Real Science Radio interviewed him, I don't know, was it about a month and a half ago?
Oh, yeah.
Roughly, Dr. John Hartnett.
Yeah.
So he developed the world's most precise atomic clock, and they're used in research and industry around the globe.
Yeah, it's so precise, it's used to actually calibrate the world's atomic clocks, like right here at CU in Boulder, Fred. I mentioned that to Dr. Hartnett. He's a physicist, cosmologist. He said, oh, yeah, they bought one of our clocks.
Yeah.
And so his clock is not the atomic clock that keeps time. It's the device they use to calibrate the atomic clocks.
Wow.
That's pretty good, huh? So, and he's a young Earth creationist. Then there's Dr. Raymond Jones, solved a problem of the indigestibility of a tropical bean in grazing cattle in Australia. And that might not seem like who cares, right? But it turns out his research contributed hundreds of millions of dollars to the Australian economy, also making nutritious food available to people of lesser economic means.
Yeah, that's right. Great accomplishment.
Yeah.
This next guy is Dr. Felix Konote-Ahulu.
Yes.
And he has many pioneering contributions, especially in sickle cell disease management.
Yeah.
And that's great.
How important that is. He's a distinguished professor of human genetics, University of Cape Coast in Ghana. And he's a consulting physician, genetic counselor in sickle cell in London at the Phoenix Hospital Group. And ironically, sickle cell disease, and we've pointed this out so many times, Fred, held up as a proof of evolution.
Isn't it amazing?
When it's a disease.
They use a disease. It's caused by mutation.
And it's one of their top proofs of evolution.
Yeah.
A disease, which is where something breaks.
Yeah, something breaks. And it gives you a little bit of resistance to malaria.
Yeah.
I have a feeling if you gave the people the option, hey, would you rather have sickle cell anemia or move?
Or move.
Yeah.
They'd rather move.
Yeah.
It's the evolutionist who says, well, this is an improvement, right? Because now you don't get
malaria.
And Fred, it's like if your kid's teeth all fell out, all of his teeth just fell out of his head.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, son, cheer up. Now you can't get a toothache.
Yeah.
It's like you haven't evolved. You're not better. You have a mutation. You lost all your teeth.
Cheer up. You'll appreciate applesauce more.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
So the next guy is, he's one of my favorite, Dr. John Sanford. He's been granted over 30 patents arising from his research in plant breeding and genetics.
Yeah, the gene gun, and he's just awesome. From Cornell University, real major scientist.
Yeah, one of my favorite books is Genetic Entropy. What a fantastic job he does.
By Dr. Sam.
If you love, it's written for both scientific minds and, you know, lay people.
Yeah.
It's a real easy read. And man, if you believe evolution after reading that book, it's just proof that, you know, you've got a faith and not a truly scientific, factual-based belief.
Yeah, and
blind faith.
I heard him speak in Pittsburgh at the International Creation Conference.
Okay, yeah.
Just tremendous.
Oh, yeah, he's top-notch.
Then there's Dr. Wally Tow, T-O-W, groundbreaking research in something called a molar pregnancy.
Hmm.
This is so vital to women's health. Turns out a molar pregnancy is not really a pregnancy. But he was invited to lecture in leading universities like Harvard, John Hopkins, Columbia, Cornell, Stanford. So here he is, a young Earth creationist, and there are just so many. And so you and I put together a list a while back of technologies. We did a show, what technologies needed Darwin or an old Earth? Like when Lawrence Krauss is on the show.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, what are you, a young Earth creationist, Bob? I say, yeah, Dr. Krauss, I am. He said, well, what are you using a telephone for? If you believe in creation, why are you using a telephone?
Yeah, it's amazing he would say that.
What? Does Alexander Graham Bell use Darwinism to invent
the
telephone? Or did he use the age of the Earth? Or maybe it was the Big Bang.
Yeah.
Which did he use? So we asked the question, what technologies needed Darwin or an old Earth to be invented? And we have quite a list, right?
Yeah,
that we've assembled.
Yeah. So how about the light bulb, vacuums, pasteurization, railway?
Railways. those needed Darwinism.
Yeah, they did. That was key to the railway system.
Right.
Not the typewriter.
Yeah.
What about the electric motor?
I don't think it had anything to do with the Big Bang or an old Earth.
Well, there's something real close to the motor, a carburetor, or in the motor, but that's a mechanical motor.
Right.
What about a loudspeaker, telephone, phonograph, microphone, photographic film, a seismograph, solar panels, punch cards? So you're punch cards. I remember those.
Yeah, me too.
Cars.
Oh, yeah.
The combustion engine, AC transformer, contact lens, tractor, ballpoint pen, cinematography, wind energy. So wind energy doesn't come from evolution. The liberals would probably want you to think
they would want you to, right? But then there's the zipper, an escalator, X-ray machines, remote control, tape recorders, air conditioning, firefighting foam. That stuff's important. Neon lamps, an EKG. I had one of those. An airplane. They always mention telephones and airplanes. Lawrence Krauss does. Like, Lawrence, how did they use Darwinism? The Wright brothers happened to be creationists. By the way, Lawrence, by the way, the Wright brothers were creationists.
Bob, you fly on a plane and you're a young earth creationist?
Right. It should.
How dare you?
Why does it work?
Yeah.
Why does it work? And so then you've got a seismometer, sonar, radio. We're on right now, Real Science Radio. TV, rockets, radar, a transfusion. Think about Harvey. He was a creationist who figured out the circulatory system.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
EEG, that's an electroencephalogram. Steel, radio telescope, jet engine. Fred, there are so many.
Oh, yeah. We can go on and on. Computer, Velcro, transistors, atomic clock, nuclear reactor, fiber optics, hard drives, satellites, spandex. Spandex and spam.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Lasers. Digital photography, optical disc, 3D holography. LED, a mouse.
Now, hey, they'd say that, you know, a mouse has a common ancestor with the rat.
Yeah, right. a lunar lander, the Venus lander, video games, video cassette, the space station, email. I wish that was never invented. Karaoke.
I wish that was never invented. Yeah.
LCD, microprocessor, MRI, Ethernet, MRI. We mentioned Raymond Damadian.
Yep. We mentioned Al Gore. No, we didn't.
No. DNA sequencing.
Well, that's the internet. That's on the list, too.
Internet. Al Gore invented the internet. Plasma TV, the GPS system, MP3 player, flash drive, and then we link to list of thousands of other inventions.
Wait a minute. We do flash drive where I work, and let me think. Did I use Darwinism? did I make random mistakes in the code?
You are an engineer, Fred, so you guys
don't think
use,
we used random mistakes
in
the code.
You didn't use mutations?
I had somebody tell me once, oh, you know, engineers would be really smart if they used random mistakes and then tried to figure out if they formed a solution. I'm like, if a guy said that in an interview,
right,
we would say, next candidate, please.
Right. You're not fired. You're just not hired.
Yeah.
Exactly. It turns out no technology needs Darwin or an old Earth to survive.
And we've been saying that again for a long time, and I love how in this article there's now evolutionists who candidly admit that.
Yes. Fred. Now, in the Creation magazine, there is an article titled Praise Darwin, and that's a weird title, but it comes from a professor of anthropology at the University of Connecticut. His name is Dr. James Boster.
Yeah, so this guy shouts Praise Darwin when there's an evangelist at the campus.
Yes.
You know, who happened to mention there's probably some people out there, maybe even professors, who think they descended from monkeys. So he vehemently protests and he says, I came from an ape.
That's
on video.
Yeah, he gets mad.
I didn't come from a monkey. I came from an ape.
That this Christian evangelist, who I think it's so neat to go to a campus and share the gospel. We've done that at Denver Bible Church. We've done that many times.
Well, I think you've got a great video, too. I'll do a plug for it. Get Out of the Matrix.
Get Out of the Matrix.
That is so cool. I highly recommend it.
And it's a handheld home video camera in a college philosophy class.
That's right. And you said the teacher was a fool. And he said it right in the class.
The students almost fell out of their chairs.
Yeah.
Because I asked the class if it was absolutely wrong for a man to violently rape a woman. The class didn't know.
Yeah.
So I asked the professor, is it absolutely wrong for a man to violently rape a woman? This is in front of a lot of impressionable young skulls full of mush.
Yes.
And she said, well, it depends on what absolutely means. And I said, you are a fool.
Yeah, you are a fool.
The students almost died.
It's a great video. Very
get out of the matrix.
Telling.
Well, thank you. So this professor spent 2 hours, Fred, and it's on video. He's shouting, praise Darwin. And he's asking, have you accepted Darwin as your Lord and Savior? And when this Christian said that there are some even professors who think they've descended from monkeys, he freaked out and said,
oh yeah,
not a monkey, an ape. That reminded me, in fact, of talk show host Mike Rosen on KOA in Denver. That was a big station.
Oh yeah.
Big definitely. Talk show host.
Well, he's still some, on.
Yeah. Some creationist said, well, you think that we evolved from apes. And Mike reprimanded him because he said, the theory of evolution doesn't say we evolved from apes. After that happened, I went and got a quote from a leading evolutionist who addressed that topic. And he said, look, if somebody says that evolution says we evolved from apes, don't argue with them, because if we had the last common ancestor to apes and humans and we looked at it, we'd all say, looks like an ape.
Looks like an ape.
So
smells like an ape, talks like an ape.
Yeah,
well, no,
so, so here's Mike Rosen being petty to avoid a substantive discussion.
Oh, yeah.
So this professor said what Mike Rosen had reprimanded a creationist from saying. Don't say we came from a monkey, we came from apes.
Yeah, and he said the evangelists were being morally outrageous. And I'll tell you what, it reminds me of an article you wrote, and I happened to just see it today,
yeah,
getting ready for the show. So we have the plans of what we're going to do. And at
yeah,
the bottom of that page, you have the thing about God killing children.
Oh,
you
yes,
know about how atheists criticize God
kids,
for, yeah, when God kills kids.
Yes.
And that happened to be, again, on that preparation
yeah,
page. And hey, interesting article. Great points.
Well, thank you, Fred. We might have to include that in a future Real Science Radio show.
Oh, absolutely.
It fits in with apologetics in answering the atheist who says, even if the God of the Bible were real, he's evil.
Because they say he kills kids, and yet you point out, well, let's first of all, let's start off about what atheists believe or what they support.
What they believe.
Yeah, and they
and
support,
then look at, right,
you know, killing kids in the womb. You've already mentioned they believe in moral relativism. So.
Right.
You know, they believe
euthanizing,
it's okay,
handicapped children.
Yes. Yeah.
And so on.
Yep.
So next article from the Creation Magazine published by CMI. If you don't subscribe to this Creation Magazine, I don't know what to do with you.
You're crazy.
This is such a good magazine.
It really is.
It's my favorite periodical, hey, bar none.
Absolutely.
It's the best, even among all the creation publications.
It is. I truly
yeah,
believe the same thing.
Yeah.
And I love this article about the evidence for the global flood. What I found interesting about this article is they appeal to Mount St. Helens, the great Petri dish that creationists have been using for a long time,
yes,
to
since
support
1980,
evidence for a global flood.
And Dr. Steve Austin, who's been in that chair you're in right now, Fred, doing an interview with us on Mount St. Helens. And it turns out, stuff that happened there within hours and days, geologists have been taught would not happen except for over millions of
years.
That's
right. That's right. And hey, it happened rapidly.
Photographic evidence of rapid. So the creationists, you're right, for 35 years, we've been using that as an example of catastrophism. Now the old earth geologists are starting to catch on.
Yeah, they're doing the same thing. So this was a team from the California Institute of Technology. And they studied an area known as Mallard Gorge in Idaho. They did this by analyzing the kinds of atoms in various rock samples. They concluded that the two canyons were not subject to long ages of erosion.
Yes, yeah, so not millions of years in the making. These two canyons that were 11 miles apart, they say were both formed quickly only thousands of years ago.
That's right.
Now, they're getting within the ballpark. They say it was about 46,000
yeah,
years.
That way they can
okay,
still publish it, and
well,
that'll be acceptable because it's against the Bible, right?
Well, yeah, for an atheist, being off by only 40,000 years is not bad.
Yeah, for an atheist.
That is really, I mean, usually they're off by 99.99%
yeah,
of their estimates. In fact, we should use the Mallard Gorge on our list of not sold.
Now, just to correct this or make sure we understand this, they didn't say that it took 46,000 years.
No.
They say it happened 46,000 years ago very quickly.
Right. And these two canyons formed at about the same time very quickly.
Very quickly.
And
just like that happened at Mount St. Helens.
Right.
There's a volcano nearby. It's the same place. We have a Petri dish. That was so awesome when that happened.
Oh, yeah. A Petri dish. You're right.
Yeah. And we've got that video in our store.
Yes. Mount St. Helens. Fabulous. Okay, so Fred, next article on bacteria. You know, bacteria is supposed to be primitive. Every now and then we find evidence of bacteria in the fossil record. And
it's supposed to be simple. I mean, these are all terms that make it sound
simple,
like it's
single celled.
It's an illusion to try to support evolution, that the simple thing over time becomes complex.
And it turns out there's also wildly sophisticated.
Oh, wildly. I mean, complex. Whenever you hear the term quantum mechanics,
oh boy,
right away you know that this thing
quantum
is
mechanics
this
in
is probably
biology
not simple.
Fred, nobody ever imagined, and I mean up until a few years ago, that biologists would have to use quantum mechanics to understand how organisms function. It turns out that photosynthesis in a bacteria uses quantum mechanics. They take the energy of four packets of light, that is photons. They use that energy, they store it, and then they have enough to break the water molecule. That's astounding.
Well, it is. And how fast it occurs, I don't even know what this word means, and I'm an engineer. 400 femtoseconds, one FS equals 10 to the minus 15. I mean, we deal in nanoseconds. That's about as good as we're going to do.
Nanoseconds is a billionth of a second.
Yeah.
Picoseconds, a trillionth of a second.
Yeah.
We're
dealing with femtoseconds.
Yeah.
Wow. 400.
Quadrillionth, quintillionth.
And again, one of those is a 10 to the minus 15. Wow.
That is. And if we could do the same thing the way God did for a simple bacteria, it would solve the Earth's energy needs. Mankind's energy needs would be solved. And that's supposedly the primitive bacteria.
The primitive bacteria.
I just love it. Fred, God is a great God.
Oh, absolutely.
He's the creator. And then when we turned against him, he came to Earth in the person of Jesus Christ, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, and was raised from the dead, as foretold by the prophets.
That's right.
So thank you, Fred Williams, for another great Real Science Radio episode.
Thanks, Bob. This is great.
And those of you in the audience for tuning in, making this all worth it. You know, you can help not only through our store, Science Resources, get a video or a book, you'll love it, or through a donation one time or monthly, but you can also help by linking to one of our radio shows, by doing a review of our global flood video. Just getting the word out, inviting one person to tune into one show will help. This is Bob Enyart and Fred Williams for Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.